special.
Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, Donald
and David.
Welcome to our Halloween special.
This week we are talking about all those things that go bump in the night and inhabit our nightmares. So David, I would like to ask you, do you have a favorite monster?
A favorite monster? Oh, that's a tricky one. I really never thought about that. Yeah, I was a fan of the Dracula for a while. And now that I've been keeping up with True Blood, I'm still a fan of the vampires. Well, I really like their mythology. What about you?
I like werewolves.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it about the werewolves you like?
I just like that drama of being completely without control, of turning into, you know, this whole complete alter beast species type thing and not knowing where it's going to go, what you're going to do, or what impact it's going to have.
So are you a fan of specifically werewolves or any of the lycanthropes?
If I take it out of the whole pop culture stuff, that's where I'm like, you know, if I had to be a monster, I would probably be a lycanthrope. Mm. Yeah, I can be happy with that. If I had to go with what they have in TV and movies and stuff like that, yeah, I think the vampire genre of TVs and movies would be more my style.
Now, that's a different question to ask, you know, what your favorite monster is versus what kind of monster would you want to be? Because I would not want to be a vampire by any means. No pun intended, but it would suck to be a vampire.
You want to be a Sasquatch, don't you?
You know, Sasquatch would be kind of cool. You know, the Sasquatch is a kind of cool monster. You know, that's a different realm of monsters. That's not the hooky spooky monsters.
It's a monster episode. We're leaving it open to every kind of monster.
Like Loch Ness Monster. Those are myth monsters.
I say let's just go for anything.
Okay.
Leave it completely open. We can go with the scary monsters, the not scary monsters, and everything in between.
Do you think that the Bigfoot exists?
Oh, yeah. I can't really tell you why. I don't have any proof. It's one of those things where I'm totally going with my gut here. It's like, does Bigfoot exist? Yes. Why? I have no idea.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, again, that we've said before. Just because you can't confirm it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why the American culture is so Missourian to be of the show me nature. You
mm-hmm.
know,
yeah,
it's like we're a show me nation with Missouri being middle America, and the middle of it is the show me state.
Oh yeah.
So I don't understand that. You know, if you think about it, maybe there's the Bigfoot and the Sasquatch is a creature that is been able to survive for this long because it has become extremely keen at being elusive. I mean, people get lost in the wilderness and we can't find them. So how do we think that something that is keen on living in the wilderness, that we were going to be able to find it? And human beings are just so arrogant because of that. Well, we can't find it, so it didn't exist. I'm like, really? You know, you can go through the woods and not get lost that easily.
Oh, yeah. That brings up an interesting question, because when you were talking about that, I was thinking back through, okay, well, human beings have, well, if you believe in the theory of evolution, we've evolved from, you know, a social society, and maybe Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch evolved from a just minor tribe stuff where it's just like, look, we like our peace, more of a hermit culture. Mm-hmm. And I can totally see why, you know, it's like, oh, those pesky humans are encroaching our land again. We'll just go deeper into the forest or deeper into the mountains or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they could be throwbacks from some species that, you know, we don't really have a lineage to trace. I mean, after all, you know, like we talked about in the evolution, the non-linear creation episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could be just an offshoot of a creature that just came out of some lineage, some past line that doesn't follow our evolutionary chain.
Oh, yeah. Now, that brings up an interesting question, though. With vampires, do you believe that actual vampires, as they're depicted in or in movies and TVs and books, or in any way, shape, or form, do you think that there are real vampires that truly exist?
I don't think so. I really don't. You know, I think vampires and the legends of vampires seem to have come from a dark place in the psyche. And there's, you know, if you watch any of those shows that you know, kind of the history of the origin of this tale or another, they'll explain vampires, you know, dead people putting a stake through the heart, the reason they did that, the long nails, like the Nosferatu-style vampire, all that stuff. They kind of have explanations for in the legends.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I don't think vampires exist. Do you think so?
Nah. I know a lot of people become really into the story and idea of being a vampire, but I don't think they're technically vampires that we're talking about in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same thing for werewolves and stuff like that. Now, to me, everything I've seen that I can remember with werewolves, and this probably is one of the reasons why I like them so much, is because the whole drama, scary darkness of, you know, this half man, half beast running through the forest or the countryside, and, you know, just overcome with pure animalistic, you know, wants and needs and everything. It's like, ah, sheep, we'll take the sheep. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, some of them make it a little more dramatic, and you hear a howling up on a hill at the full moon and everything. It's like, for me, that hits something very deep and very core, and I'm not sure exactly what parts of me that has to do with. I'm sure it has something to do with my psyche, but I there's just something about that I find absolutely just like, wow.
Does it? You think it connects with that primal part of ourselves, that part of ourselves that truly is animal, being in flesh and blood?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, I completely. And well, now that you mention that, if you're a werewolf, it's kind of like you're able to be forgiven a little bit because you have no control over your animalistic needs and wants. And that might be an interesting idea for the whole societal, cultural, social issue with a very repressed societies and such.
Interesting.
And I wish I knew exactly where the idea of the history of where werewolves and lycanthropes came out from, but I really don't have that information at the moment.
We'll do a little bit of digging, and we'll put something in the show notes on that.
Oh yeah, because that would be cool. Now, I'm also curious, another thing that, I mean, if we're having a Halloween special, we just have to talk about ghosts.
Okay. Yeah.
I know this is going to touch a little bit on the afterlife and stuff like that, but no worries. I mean, I don't think we can get away from that at all.
Would you like to hear a ghost story?
Oh, sure. Yeah, go for it.
It's not mine. It's Jackie's.
Oh.
My spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was out of town. I traveled for work a lot at the time, and I was out of town, and she had called me, and she says, I need to tell you about what just happened to me. We were living in a house in Old Town, Tacoma here. It's called Old Town because it was the very original part of Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
The first house built is in Tacoma. We rented a house that was constructed turn of the century.
Oh.
And it's right kind of by the waterfront here. And she was upstairs in the house. It's one of those, you know, the upstairs where the ceilings are, you know, the ceilings slope down.
Yeah.
So it's not a full-size room. You have the sloping ceilings. So she was up there, and she was doing some ironing. All of a sudden, she felt this cold brush by her.
Oh, wow.
It just felt like, imagine like a cold wind, but not the way a wind blows. More like just kind of a cold passing, I guess, is the best way I could describe it from what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
So then she went downstairs. I don't know why she went downstairs, but then she went downstairs. And she walked through the living room in the dining room, and she looked, and standing across from her in the kitchen was a man.
Oh, wow.
He was wearing one of those long coats that they wore at the turn of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And just that kind of, you know, all dark, that long coat. And he was looking right at her. She said it was plain as day.
Wow.
Like she could see the table standing in front of her. She could see this man before her. He looked at her, and he just kind of gave her a nod. She's startled. She was like, who's this in my house? And her first reaction was, what's this man doing in my house?
Yeah.
Then her next reaction was, this man's kind of out of place. And then he turned and walked into where the bathroom would be. And then she followed him to where the bathroom was. And he was not there anymore.
Oh, wow. That is a good story, David.
Yeah, yeah. It was really trippy.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Not to my recollection.
I think you'd remember that if you did.
Yeah, I would remember. Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I don't know if you'd actually classify it as a ghost, but you probably would. When I was in my early 20s, I loved to go out walking in the middle of the night. Just something I like to do. And there was this place where I was living that had a little bit of a... It was a little bit of a forest place. It's one of those places that, you know, you feel okay going there during the day, but you can just tell at night, it's like, I don't know. Well, being, you know, young and in my 20s, and I was just like, you know, why do I never go there at night? Because it's scary. And like, well, then we'll overcome our fear and we'll just go and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And this place is completely covered with trees. If you go like 15, 20 feet into to the pathway, the streetlights and everything are completely taken out. There is no light that gets in there whatsoever. But I was familiar with the place because I've gone there many times during the day, and I decided, okay, I walked up there, I walked in, I had my flashlight because I knew I was going there, and I walked into where it was just dark, 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 and completely just hardly any light whatsoever. Then I found a rock, I sat down, I was like, okay, I'm going to just kind of feel out what this place is like at night. I heard creaks and cracks and branches falling and this and that. I'm like, okay, so those are woodland creatures. They're not scaring me. I'm not worried about that. Probably some raccoons. I was there probably for, well, what felt like probably about 5, maybe 10 minutes, being who I am and who I was even back then. I was like, let's do a kind of a meditation type thing. I got into a meditation. I was just sitting there and I was communing with the energy of the place that I was in, and then all of a sudden I saw in my mind's eye, as clear as day, two Native Americans standing off probably about 30-40 feet behind me, and it was so there that I basically whipped around and looked, and my eyes were open and I could still see them, and I could actually make out some of the landscape there with my eyes open as well. And I was like, whoa, that is freaky. Basically what I got is they were not happy that I was there, and they were really not happy that I was doing anything even remotely spiritual there. So basically I was like, I got the hint. I got the hint. I'm leaving. And basically I got my flashlight and was like, okay, let's, we can't run through the forest in the dark, but let's get out of here as soon as possible. And I think it was about a week later, you know, I was just like, you know, I need to make peace with the spirits that were there. So I went out and I bought some tobacco and I took it up there and I, you know, I set it down and buried it in the ground. It's like, are we cool? All right. That's paraphrasing, obviously, but so for me, I guess that would count as a ghostly encounter, but I've always seen that more of, I don't know. What do you think?
I think you did contact the spirits that resided in that place. I mean, there's no reason to believe that you didn't.
The times that I'd gone back there after then, I decided never to go back there at night because, well, they were not happy with that. And I was like, okay, I'll be respectful. But during the day, I could actually... For a little while after that, I could still feel them there, you know, just kind of like, it's daytime.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. It's like that door had been opened. It was really interesting because me and a few other friends, this was a place that we liked to go a lot. The next time that we'd gone with my friends, I was just like, all right, guys, we have to be really even more cooler than we've been in the past. And I told them the story and like, okay, whatever. They're your Indians. They're not ours. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's pretty much my ghost story.
Well, I have to tell you, a friend of mine and I did live with a ghost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We did live with a ghost. We were living in a place over in, not far from the Tacoma Mall. We're living in apartments together. There's a cemetery near there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't generally think cemeteries are haunted per se,
mm-hmm.
because I think that the energies of restless spirits would haunt places they're connected to, and usually they're not connected to cemeteries unless somebody there that passed before them that they knew were there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we lived in this apartment. I'm sure to this day that there was a mischievous, highly mischievous, possibly malevolent
Ooh.
Entity in that area. Because things would go missing all the time, and they didn't make sense, and things would not work. You know, appliances and things like that. Things would be in weird... It seems like things were always in oddly in the cupboards. But I remember one time my wallet went missing, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Where did it turn up? Underneath the little cabinet under the bathroom sink.
Oh, wow.
I would have no reason for this. And then there was another time where... One of us had loaned our house key to some girl that one of us was seeing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so between the two of us, we were sharing a house key. We were kind of passing it back and forth. Well, needless to say, you know, the house key went missing. And we were thick as thieves at the time. But the two of us almost came to blows, which we never did. We just weren't, that just wasn't our friendship. But we were in our faces screaming at each other, accusing the other of having lost the key. And it turned out up in a pair of his pants that he had not worn for weeks before the key went missing. We'd had the key since, and he had not worn these pants for weeks. And it was in the pocket of the thing. And maybe we were figuring maybe some spirit was mad because we were smashing those, you know, those Scooby-Doo glasses you'd get from fast food restaurants.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
We were throwing that at the headstones in the cemetery off of our deck and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
so we figured maybe we got him annoyed. But, you know, it was weird, the malevolence there. And I don't want to blame this necessarily on malevolent spirits, but if you're surrounded by negative energy, I think it can be an amplifier
mm-hmm.
for what's already in you. But we moved from that place because one of the residents had brutally murdered the landlady there. He had stabbed her, and the daughter was there witnessing the whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, there was a mass exodus of those apartments that next month, and no questions were asked about it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so it was really eerie and odd.
Oh wow. One of the shows that I have to mention, because when it first came on, I was just blown away, and even to this day I'm still like, I love the show. I don't watch as much anywhere near as like I did in the past, but Ghost Hunters. I don't know if you've ever seen it or whatnot.
I don't know if that's the one I saw.
Yeah, this is one that's been on Sci-Fi Channel for probably, I think, 4, maybe 5 years. And it has to do with taps. One of the things that I've loved about this show, and you know, they do paranormal investigations all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then they were picked up by the Sci-Fi Channel. What they do is they go in and they look at things very scientifically, but also they allow themselves to be like, okay, you know, if it's haunted and if we feel it's haunted, we'll say it's haunted. And the first season or two, I remember them saying, yeah, we don't say any place is haunted unless we really, really feel like it's haunted. They didn't say a whole lot of places were that haunted in the first season or two, and then all of a sudden they were being more and more open about, like, yeah, we found this thing and that thing, and we have no explanation for it from our personal experiences. We didn't get any evidence on the audio. We didn't get any evidence on the video. But from our group's personal experiences, we have to say it there's a little bit of haunting there, but we have no proof.
Hmm.
For the past few years, they've done a live investigation someplace in the United States on Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting because you can get on your computer and they have people watching all these chat rooms and everything, and it's broadcast live, and it's like, whoa. There might be maybe a 3 or 4 minute delay for satellites and stuff like that, but it goes on for about 5 hours or so. And some of the video that they've caught over the span of their whole show is really, really interesting. I think there was a one in, I think, a Pennsylvania State University or something like that, where they had one of the stationary cameras set up, and then they had this dark black figure that was warping down towards the camera, and then all of a sudden just disappeared. Hmm. They took it to video analysts and said, okay, tell us about this. Is there absolutely anything that could cause this? Is it like a equipment malfunction? Is it like really bad dust? Is there anything in here that could really even remotely cause this kind of a distortion? And like, no, there's no explanation whatsoever for it. I think when they started getting a lot of evidence like that, they're just like, okay, we're actually finding more and more evidence. And of course they had they have a new show on that started, I think, a few seasons ago. It's International Ghost Hunters, where they had a whole nother team go off, and they go in Europe all over the place to haunted places. And that's kind of interesting too. But the way that they do things, I've always loved, because they don't go in saying, okay, we're doing a TV show, let's scare some people. You know, it's basically like, all right, let's go in and see what we find. And, you know, if we find something, cool, we'll let people know. If not, oh well.
Now, do you think there's a difference with some of these things that they find, that they're all ghosts, or that some of them are entities? On one of the forums I'm part of, they do talk about entities sometimes that are not necessarily ghosts or deceased people, that they're just non-corporeal beings.
Hmm. Are you talking more like on that? Like maybe demons or angels, things like that?
Yeah, what people might... the angels, yeah, I'm not worried about the angels. They're good. Angels are all right. But the demons and those dark entities and malevolent entities and all those other things.
Well, yeah, I believe in those too. I don't focus on them because it's kind of one of those things for me where if you go looking for trouble, you most likely will find it if you keep looking and keep looking.
What about Ouija boards? Is that an example of looking for trouble?
This is one of those things that I'm in a gray area about it specifically. And this is...
What's so funny?
You just said Ouija.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. There you go again.
Are you putting that on me?
Yeah. You're hilarious, David. Keeping the Halloween spirit alive. Don't hurt yourself. That was good. I like that a lot.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, for me, I don't personally care to work with Ouija boards or anything like that, because to me that's like putting up a huge spotlight in the astral world and saying, hey, look, we're here on the physical and here's a doorway and you come talk to us. And well, they can do more than talk if they really want to.
So what are they then? What do you think they are? What are these demons or these dark entities?
I think that's the best description of them. It's just demons or dark entities or dark energies, lower forms of energy, just like basically kind of like the bugs of the astral plane. You know, because, and I say that because bugs do not really, they don't care what they're doing. They're totally set on doing one thing. It's like, we want to eat, we want to reproduce, and that's all we're looking for. We're flying, and we're being eaten by a bird. Dope! Or we're flying, and we're reproducing, and we're eating. And that's it. That's their whole existence. Dark entities and demons, as we call them, I think that's more of what they are. They're like astral bugs. They have one goal and one purpose only, is to, you know, like a moth, go towards the light. If you're working with a Ouija board, then you're basically putting up a really big light out in the astral plane. Mm. Now, am I saying that Ouija boards are always bad for every single person? No, not at all. There are people that are able to use them perfectly and have absolutely no problems. And then, of course, there's other people that have developed severe problems from them.
Do you believe in possession?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that is a person being taken over by a malevolent entity?
I'd say yes, because we're getting caught up in terminology here. You can say, you know, they are possessed. That's more of a negative connotation, but then you have people that channel beings and stuff where their body is taken over and so that's not malevolent. So for possession, like what you're talking about, yeah, I would have to say that would be malevolent because it's not by choice.
But then again, it also could be a manipulation thing. I mean, I've heard the idea that no being can take you over without your consent. You know, they need to have like a little permission slip or something. You
know, that their mom signed.
That their mom signed, exactly. And but that you have to let them in, but that there are cases where if you're very vulnerable, that these malevolent beings that start out as imaginary friends for children or something like that manage to manipulate the fragile or unlearned minds.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that goes with how well you know yourself and how much strength and confidence you have in and of yourself. The more you have, I think the less vulnerable you are to being possessed. If you're somebody who's looking for, you know, somewhere to belong, something to do, I think you're much more open to possession under those circumstances.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable in your own body, and those people are like, I wish I was someone else. It's like that, did you watch X-Files?
Oh yeah, I used to watch it all the time.
Do you remember the episode Jose Chung's from Outer Space?
I don't remember him by title, but no.
The best X-Files episode ever, in my opinion. It was the one where they were, Oh, now you're doing it now.
I couldn't let you have all the fun.
That's true, I know. It was the one where it was kind of told in a really funny, quirky way, but it was about the guy, people being abducted by aliens, which is another kind of interesting, spooky topic here. It was about people being abducted by aliens, a guy who had flown a ship, and then he was disguising himself as an alien abductor, but yet he was also abducted, and nobody knew what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
They had the guy, the Men in Black. And they thought Mulder and Scully were actually Men in Black. And the one guy said, you know, you don't spend all those years playing Dungeons and Dragons without learning a little something about courage.
Oh.
But there's something that made me think of that. I wish I could remember.
Yeah, we were talking about knowing who you are and confidence and stuff like that. And
knowing who you are.
And not being able to be possessed, and then being more open to wanting to belong somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was this guy who always wanted to be abducted by an alien because, you know, he just didn't fit in on Earth, so he really wanted to be abducted by an alien. He was the quintessential nerd. But what about that alien abduction?
Aliens, man. Yeah, aliens. We haven't gone to the whole aliens and take us to your leader. Yeah, alien abduction. That I think that's one of those things that. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those where it's frightening just to the psyche, because it's like when people are in their homes, especially when they're asleep, they feel comfortable, they feel safe. And the stories of alien abductions happen when people are in their homes, in their beds, feeling perfectly safe, and all of a sudden, they're not. The medical field is kind of like, well, you're just having a bad dream. And it was a really bad dream. Well, what about this? Like, well, that could have been this scar here or there or whatever. Like, that could have been self-inflicted, or maybe you were sleepwalking and fell down and hurt yourself. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, I guess you could look at it that way in one way. But what if alien abductions really happen? Then would these people that do believe that they were abducted, you know, maybe they're not so crazy.
Do you know anyone who has purported to have been abducted?
No, I don't. But I know my ex-girlfriend from years and years and years ago, she is, even to this day, definitely afraid of aliens. She doesn't like to hear anything about it. She's just like, they freak her out. And I have never actually met anyone before or after her that had such a issue with aliens. For her, it's a fear more like, you know, there's people.
She doesn't even hang out at the Mexican border.
No, actually not. Yeah, it's like people that have fear of flying. Hers is fear of aliens to that degree, and
it's phobic.
Yeah, extremely, extremely so. I don't know. Do you believe that alien abductions happen, or do you believe that there's another explanation?
I always think the truth is somewhere in the middle, but I don't rule it out. I do think that this universe is too huge and broad and vast to think otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's come out of some kind of strange something within the psyche. Like you said, I mean, the idea that can you be really, truly, completely safe? Again, it's like there's a mythos behind the alien abductions that has become so solidified. I don't want to use the word storyline, but there's an entire myth that's so detailed that's been built around alien abductions. Most people can recite them very easily, all the archetypes of them. You know, you've got your gray aliens, and you've got these other aliens, you know.
And then you got Chewbacca.
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 Well, yeah, I guess he's kind of an alien.
David, he comes from a completely different planet. Hello, he's alien.
Well, then again, we're a bunch of aliens when we're on Hoth or whatever, you know, if you think about it that way.
Well, yeah, but the Rebellion has colonized those planets, so we're no longer aliens to them. It's kind of like, are we aliens to North Dakota when we go there, even though there was a completely different culture and people living there hundreds of years ago?
Are we alien to them?
Yeah, we're not. I'm getting caught up on the semantics and going.
No,
from,
you know, it's interesting. There's I think the term is Washishu for the Lakota tribe.
Uh-huh.
I hope I'm saying it right. Washishu, which is a term that means non-Indian.
Oh.
Well, the interesting thing, it's another term. It also means, am I saying this right? He who keeps the best meat for himself.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Yeah. So, yeah, a little divergence. But, yeah, I was kind of listening to something which people are starting to it was a video that I watched yesterday on Columbus Day, which they're actually calling Indigenous People Day. So it was just kind of made a reference to that. That was kind of interesting.
Very cool.
You just made me think of it because you were talking about it, the Dakotas.
Yeah, you know, it kind of like from taking from the interstellar place to more of a continental same planet type place. And it's kind of like, well, if a species colonizes a planet and has been there for a significant amount of time, then are they still considered alien to that planet?
No, not necessarily, I would say. I see what your point is they've now made it their home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've infested it and taken it over and made it their home.
Like cockroaches.
Like cockroaches, you know. As far as the alien abduction stuff goes, you know, I'm not going to rule it completely out. I mean, there's been a lot of weird things that people have seen in the sky, and there's been a lot of stuff revealed under hypnosis. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that has just come out of the modern legends. So, you know, like I said, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much how I look at it. Somewhere in between, it's like, I don't know if alien abductions actually happen, and to follow that line, you start getting into a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff like
that. Exactly.
This is a Halloween special, not a conspiracy special.
Yeah, we'll do one of those in the near future here.
Oh, yeah. Now, zombies, on the other hand, come on, man. You got to protect yourself against the zombie invasion.
You know what you've just hit on? You've hit on my least favorite monster.
Mine too.
And my least favorite monster story.
Mm-hmm.
Zombies. Because, you know why? How much can you do with it? I mean, I like to listen to, you know, one of my favorite podcasts, Escape Pod, a wonderful podcast. If you haven't listened to them, Donald, I really, really highly recommend them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all science fiction, and it ranges from old school Arthur C. Clarke and Ray Bradbury to new writers like David Brin and Mike Resnick and these currents. And it's all science fiction stuff, and they're all short stories that are read out loud.
Oh, wow.
And they're fantastic, and they're by professional authors, and they're paid for their work, and, you know, it's done through Creative Commons license. It was fantastic. Escape Pod. You're going to see a link to it in the show notes. Just,
cool.
I can't say enough about them.
I'm definitely interested.
You'd love it. You'd love it. And they have Pseudopod is their sister horror podcast, and Podcastle is their fantasy podcast. And they're all kind of a family. But every now and then they get these zombie stories in there. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm skipping one this week. Because the zombie stories, I'm like, all right, what are you going to do? There's the zombies. They're eating the dead. You know, how long can you hold out? Da-da-da. I'm like, okay.
I agree completely. And the reason why I bring up zombies other than being a Halloween thing is it's become a very popular thing about zombies lately that I've noticed.
Yeah, people love zombie genre.
And I don't understand that.
I don't either.
So
I was hoping you can enlighten me.
I could if I could, but I can't, so I won't.
$20 says our friend Spider does like zombies. We're going to have to ask her about it.
Oh, Spider. I imagine if she's not into zombies, she knows people who are.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, hopefully we can get some insights from her. We'll see if maybe she can post something in the forum about it, you know, when I get to that, putting this episode up on there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I agree with you. It's like zombies. Okay, it's like, okay, they're the undead. They go after people who are living so they can eat their brains. And what else is it? Like, no, that's pretty much it. Like,
yeah, you've nailed it.
So
how many angles can you tell the story from?
Yeah.
The Omega Man / I Am Legend was a decent way of telling it, but it was still a zombie story.
Yeah. Vampires, on the other hand, it's like, we must drink blood to survive, and we live forever. And
I love the vampire mythos because, number one, depends on who's telling it, there's going to be a different flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of us who've played role-playing games, and Jackie rolls her eyes every time I say that, I'm like, you know, vampires are lawful evil. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, it's a total... She's like, if you're going to say it's Dungeons & Dragons, you've lost me. But they're lawful evil. They have a set of code. They have rules that they follow.
Mm-hmm.
They have a set of principles. They don't all follow them. There's such a rich story built around them. You know, some of them can fly and some of them, and there's thousands of years. There's the idea that, you know, there's magic behind them. There's glamoring people. Oh, just goes on. There's way more than you can do with zombies.
Oh, yeah.
But then you get the Twilight vampires.
Oh,
and for
geez.
Those of you who love Twilights, I'm going to apologize once and then that's it. No more apologies for sparkly vampires that, you know. What was that quote I posted on Facebook? Something about, you know, Harry Potter has taught us how to, you know, taught us how to challenge, face challenges and adversity and learn, you know, about yourself. And Twilight is about how to get a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, for whoever loves Twilight, that's cool. I'm one of those people that doesn't really care for it. And I think one of the videos that I saw on YouTube where they actually had Blade, which Blade was one of those movies with Wesley Snipes that you know I just loved, and they had a little skit there where it's just like he was being introduced to being told about these new Twilight vampires, and it's cracking him up. You know, it's like, so when they can go out in the sunlight, well, I could do that. Their skin sparkles. Oh my goodness. They're so, you know.
I think they're like the vampires for the raves or something.
Yeah. My skin sparkles.
I want to drink your ecstasy potion.
Yeah.
Cocktail.
But yeah, to those who love Twilight, I'm glad you found something that you love, but yeah, I have to be one of those people that just not into it. The story takes place around here in Washington, doesn't it?
Yes, in Forks.
That's cool and everything, but yeah, I'd rather go to and see where Northern Exposure was shot up here around here and stuff, but Northern Exposure, not really a Halloween thing.
No.
By
not
any
not so
stretch
much.
Of the imagination.
Now, this is kind of a little off the beaten path as standard Halloween, but what about shapeshifters?
What about them?
There's people that believe that they actually exist.
I think we'd have to define more of exactly what shapeshifting is. Are you talking about physically turning into a different animal or
right? but deliberately, not like a were creature, not like a lycanthrope, but more of a creature that has that ability and can do it at will.
Hmm. My only knowledge of that comes from, you know, Native American mythologies and, you know, belief systems, and I really don't know. I think if someone is truly able to consciously, you know, change into a different animal, that is really, really cool. I don't think they would come out as being like, oh yeah, I'm a shapeshifter, and being on David Letterman and everyone else, yeah. Like, okay, here I go.
Like, yeah, it's probably just a higher vibrating being or something like that, if that's the case.
Taking it from a different perspective, one of the things I learned years and years ago is a way of making yourself invisible. Basically do a kind of like a mirror thing and become a chameleon, and your energy changes so that people can actually walk right by you and not even know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
If that is possible, where and there are people that have tons and tons of personal experiences with that, and it's kind of hard to, you know, experiment with. It's like, okay, where's he hiding?
Mm-hmm.
There he is. But if you can change your energy so that you become invisible to a degree to other people, if you're sitting there, you know, in a bright orange jacket and, you know, waving reflectors at everybody and then trying to do this, I don't think that's going to work very well. But I can actually see how you can actually change the energy of your of who you are into that of an animal. It's from that, it's not such a huge leap to say, okay, people probably figure they saw this particular animal. And I think that might have been more along the lines of how shape-shifting came into being, though I could be completely off on that.
Or even were-creatures.
Oh, yeah. Someone just didn't shave for a while and, you know, went a little crazy and like, he's like a wolf, but he's a man.
Hungry like the wolf.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's Rio, sorry.
keep the song straight.
Yeah, I know. I mean, some people would consider Duran Duran scary and spooky, but I kind of liked him, I have to admit. Now, speaking of that, scary and spooky, why do you suppose that people get off on the aspects of Halloween of scariness? You know, why do you think people like to be scared? In October, when we ever want to sit down and watch a movie from, you know, pay-per-view or on-demand, it's a... wading through all the horror films and horror films and horror films. Why do you think people like to be either scared, like in a Hitchcockian way, or even just the thriller movies? To me, they're very different, where something jumps out and stabs something else.
Oh, yeah. You mean you're not a big fan of Freddy Krueger?
No, can't say.
Or Michael or Jason?
No, sorry.
Yeah, I know what you did last summer, David.
Yeah, but everybody knows. I probably posted it on Facebook.
Yeah. And we're recording podcasts, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But no,
that's
I think
not a stretch.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think it goes back to one of those parts of our human psyche where we like to just be scared. It's why people like to go on roller coasters. It's kind of like if your life is constantly going a certain way and there's not a whole lot of excitement happening, being scared or grossed out is like a big thing. I think that's where, you know, reason why the whole idea of stories around the campfire. I mean, before we had TV and movies and we're still living out in caves and whatnot, you know, people probably told stories like, today I was walking around and all of a sudden this big mountain lion jumped out at me and he's like, rawr! And it's like, the children are all scared and everything. And so I think it's just one of those things that's part of our human nature.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is that, you know, like you said, you know, there's a creature chasing you. That's scary that a lion could be, you know, trying to stalk and eat you. Mm-hmm. But we don't see that as Halloween scary.
Yeah.
But you throw in the undead or a monster, then it becomes Halloween scary.
Well, yeah, because you know that a mountain lion could be killed. with the monster, if you're not familiar with the monster, who knows? And, you know, that's where it goes with the whole mythology of, like, to ward off vampires, wear garlic, and to kill a vampire, you have to have a wooden stake through their heart, and werewolves, it's a silver bullet, and, you know, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. In any story, the story really falls short if the hero is invincible or if the villain is invincible. Every hero and villain has to have some kind of a weakness. Mm-hmm. And so if your story does not have a weakness, such as Twilight stories...
Twilight stories have a weakness. It's the Twilight story itself. sorry.
Yeah, I really apologize to everyone who's a fan of Twilight series. It falls short if you don't have some kind of a weakness. And I think you create this... you know, vampire or this werewolf, and you give them all these attributes, then you have to come up with some way of, well, what is their weakness?
Werewolves are kind of, to me, the offshoot of the whole Halloween thing, but it seems like it's always about skeletons and ghouls and zombies and vampires. It's about death and the undead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think we see in the whole Halloween realm, you know, and I don't know if that's because it's connected to All Saints Day and, you know, the drawing out of the dead and expelling the evil spirits or whatever.
Yeah, the whole idea of Halloween is, or All Hallows Eve, is it's the day when the veil between the living and the dead is the thinnest.
Right.
And the whole idea of, well, if it's the thinnest, then you can have those that are dead walking around. So to make them think that you're one of them, that you're also dead, you dress up and as what you'd consider the dead to be.
I thought it was to kind of make light of it so we didn't fear him so much if we encountered him.
It probably got watered down to that degree over time. But yeah, the way I was told and the whole history that I was introduced to was that was the very, very beginning of, it's like, we're going to do as the Romans do. And since the dead are around and we can't control them, but we can control us, we're going to pretend we're dead.
You know, and I tried that once and the dead got really insulted. They said it was like the equivalent of blackface for dead.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like, you know, really, you know, you're dressing up in white paint and all that stuff and your dark circles under your eyes. It's very offensive, they said. If that's how you portray us, all over the top. You know, we don't sound like that. We don't go. We find it very offensive. And then there was the whole dead rights, and it just yeah. Yeah.
The Association for Rights of the Dead.
Yeah,
the ARD.
ARD.
ARD. ARD. Association for Rights of the Dead. I could just see their whole lawyers and everything like.
Well, I tell you what, the zombies, it was easy to fool them because they're just dumb. The zombies are the idiots, you know. The vampires, they're the clever ones. You know,
oh, yeah.
You can't fool a vampire, but the zombies, easy to fool.
Okay.
Mummies, not too hard.
Oh, well, yeah, mummies. I mean, we haven't talked about mummies, but that goes into the whole Egyptian thing. And
yeah.
Mummies are Egyptian zombies. I don't think they're out for just brains or anything. They're out to just kill.
Well, they're just angry. I mean, you desecrated their home.
Yeah. It's like, I am wrapped up in bandages. This is not doing anything for my skin.
I think there's two things with the mummies. The first part is that we desecrated their tombs, you know, and then there's the curse aspect. Mm-hmm. And then there's the second one where, from Western culture, we were not used to seeing mummies. So imagine the horrific of this, you know, this petrified human being.
Oh, yeah.
I think the curse has really kind of lit a fire into that whole thing, too.
You think about it. So if you disturb the grave or the resting place, the eternal resting place of someone, especially someone who comes from a culture that is steeped in a lot of magic and mythology and power and everything, the curse is a good way to ward off, you know, grave robbers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly where the term rest in peace came from that we put on our headstones. I don't know if you feel this way, but for me, even if it's a forensic police legal investigation or whatever, once somebody's buried, leave them buried.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I hear stories of, you know, someone's body was exhumed, I'm like, oh my goodness, that just feels really wrong to me.
Interesting.
But that probably has to do with my own thing, and I have no idea what area of my own thing that has to do with. But yeah, that's one thing that always got me. It's just like, if they're dead, they're dead. Just once they're dead and buried, just leave them dead and buried. And I understand the whole having to occasionally exhume a body for legal and purposes and whatnot, but still feels wrong.
Interesting. I have a very different viewpoint to that. When you're dead, the body is just, it's just disposable, you know. It's like the Klingons used to say, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They'd say, what do you want us to do with the body? It says, you know, it is an empty shell. Do what you will.
Yeah.
and that's kind of the way I see it. It's useless. So do whatever you're going to do with it, you know.
Well, the thing is, the body, sure, I agree with that completely. I look at it as kind of a, you know, a form of respect. Mm-hmm. If you have ever babysitted, or if you have children, and you, when they're very young, you put them to sleep and you say goodnight and everything, you know, it's kind of like, all right, now you let them sleep. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when you get old and you pass on and your body is no longer infused with your spirit or anything, it's like, okay, to respect the life that you have lived and everything that you experienced and everything that all the influence that you had over people and, you know, this is where we're going to put your body. And since we can't technically call you on, you know, a hotline and say, so, hey, your body is here. Can we move it just a little over to the left or right? We got to make way for an interstate. It's kind of like the last way of what we can do. Now, I have no problem if after it's been a few decades. For some reason, after it's been a few decades, it doesn't bother me. If it's been like 20, 30 years, it's like, okay, whatever, we're done.
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm not arguing your point by any means, and I completely respect that. And I can see, I can understand it. I can see how you'd have that perspective. It makes a lot of sense. It's reverence as far as you're concerned, you know. It makes sure you honor the life by, you know, honoring the body after the life is no longer in it.
Yeah.
You know, I could totally respect that. To me, it's more of a letting go. Mm-hmm. It's like when the person's no longer in their body, you're respecting the fact that they're dead by acknowledging that the body is just that. It's just no longer useful to them. So to completely disassociate it from the formal life. Like, for example, I always said that if it was legal, I'd say just dump my body in the ocean as is. I don't care. Let it feed the fish or whatever. And I'm like, once my body's dead, people have two ideas, you know. People are like, you know what? I don't want my body. My mom says, I don't want my body donated to science. I want it, just bury me and just leave it alone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm just like, you know what? I don't know. You could play soccer with my hacky sack with my eyes as far as I'm concerned. I don't really care. I'm done with it. So, you know, it's like once you do that, you're acknowledging that I've moved on. And, you know, that's I've kind of, you know.
Yeah. For the longest time, I was like, yeah, I don't need to take up space. Cremation works just fine for me. And then, you know, I grew older and I started thinking about things like, you know what? I'm really kind of into this whole recycling thing. So, it's kind of like my whole level is, okay, look, once I'm gone and everyone's absolutely sure I'm gone and I'm not just having one of those, you know, really deep meditations for like two or three days that people have that are very rare, but they do happen occasionally. It's like, okay, first off, any kind of organs you need, if someone needs it, go ahead, let them have it.
Agreed.
And then whatever you can't use, it's like, yeah, let feed the wildlife. Go for it.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, but it's not legal in this country, unfortunately. So I just say, you know, when I'm dead, burn up my body. Just, you know, roast it with the incinerator, because to be honest with you, I don't want the living to be troubled with all that nonsense. I don't want them to worry about the service and the funeral and the casket and the plot and all that other stuff. To me, it's just like, you know what? Acknowledge my life and move on.
I want a service. You know, okay, I got you with the whole casket thing, but I still want a service, damn it.
Well, to me, that's up to them. You know, I wouldn't mind a service, but it's not my call to make anymore. I'm dead. You know, it's like if you guys are going to, they will, people will, invariably they do. You're not going to stop them. You know, at first I was just like, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm like, well, you know what? They're going to do what they want. And the funny thing is they say, this is how he would have wanted it. But everybody has a different version version of how he would have wanted it. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying it's all for the living, you know. They're the ones kidding themselves.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's kind of like my final act of selfishness. It's like, we will have a service for me. I'm just sorry. That's just the way it is.
Go for it, I say.
And it's like,
put it in that will, Donald.
Yeah, in my service, I want to have this, this, this. And you will have fun, or you're next. So, but yeah, I don't need the casket, and I don't know. I've always wondered about the burial plot, because I don't want to be set on the mantle of someone's house, and you know,
it sets you up for too many situation comedies.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, Look, but if I had my ashes in a little itty bitty place that people could come by and be like, he's got this 4x4, you know, little square right here, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Or if I decide to, I'd be like, well, I kind of like Washington. I wonder if it's okay if they spread my ashes from a plane in Washington. I think that's probably illegal too, though.
No, I don't think so. I think you could, there's certain ways you can spread ashes, but I think it has to be over the water or something like that.
So. Yeah, and I haven't really decided which way I'm really wanting to go there, but I definitely want a service because I believe in an afterlife, David, and I want to show up and, you know, just be like, ah, these are the people who loved me. These are the people whose life I have, you know, influenced enough for them to take time out of their busy schedules and come by and just say, dude, here's to you.
You know, people who communicate with the dead say that the dead are always at these services.
Oh, yeah.
And like I say, for me, once I'm dead, all bets are off.
Oh, man. I can't remember which episode we brought that up, but it's still a good one.
It is, yeah. I still like that one.
Very cool. Oh, actually, I'm curious. Do you have any Halloween rituals or activities that you do on a yearly basis?
The new one is we make actual Halloween costumes for the dogs.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we do, and we get their picture taken with that. That's the biggest one that we do. As far as sometimes we'll go to a Halloween party, but we don't really have any big rituals. We do like to hand out candy to the kids. I love toying with the kids. I'm still trying to come up with a good ritual, but I'm not quite there yet, but I will. How about you?
Yeah. Right now, I'm pretty much into hanging out with people and Halloween parties and stuff like that that are costume or non-costume optional. I've tried doing the whole bar thing. It's just like, that's boring. I tried that one year. I was like, nah, this Halloween at a bar, ugh, that's just bleh. I'm sure there are bars that do really good job at it, but for me, that just wasn't my scene. But no, for a while there, when my grandmother passed on, I felt very strongly that it's just like, I need to light a candle for most of Halloween night for her. Mm-hmm. And it had to be a very specific candle, but I couldn't describe it. It was one of those, it's like, you will know it when you see it. So I looked for a candle for a while and finally found one. It's like, this one is the one that'll work. And for the first few years, it was just like, okay, that works perfectly. And then I think it was about 4, maybe 5 years, somewhere after she had passed on, that I had started this whole ritual, and it was just, I got this very strong feeling of, okay, you don't need to do that anymore. And if you continue, it's actually kind of like a annoying thing.
No.
Like somebody constantly poking you.
Yeah.
And I kind of, from my perception, I look at it from this way. It's like, my grandmother was more than happy for me to, you know, go through and do my stuff of, you know, honoring her and who she was. But after a while, it's kind of like, okay, I kind of got stuff to do here on the afterlife. And you bringing me back every so often, you know, every year is kind of, you know, it's like constantly being interrupted.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And
I was working on this here.
Yeah, it's like constantly poking somebody while they're trying to write their thesis statement. It's like, hello, hello, like, I'm busy, and like, where's the sour cream that we bought yesterday? You know? And so I was just like, all right, we'll let that go, and I still have the candle because I couldn't get rid of it, but I've not lit it since then. So now every Halloween I just bring it out and I set it somewhere prominent. I don't light it, but I just let it be there, and it's just like, okay, this is for everyone who's passed on just in general, because if I light it, that's specifically for my grandmother.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
But as a symbol of people who have passed on, that's okay for just that.
I like that. That's nice. Very nice.
But other than that, no, I'm pretty much open. If I feel like doing costume one year, it's like, okay, I'll do costume thing. Feel like doing a party, we'll do a party. One of the things that I've done whenever I get a group of people that are into it is divination is supposed to be really, really spot on Halloween.
Wow, that's what I've heard. Because of the thin veil.
Exactly. Exactly. And so if I'm hanging out with other people who do divination, it's like, all right, let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes for a very interesting Halloween, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So do you have any plans for this upcoming Halloween?
No, I think we're gonna feed candy to the kids, getting them all fattened up.
Now, candy, I like them. Beetlejuice, great movie. Anyway, yes. But have you ever scared kids during trick or treating?
Have I ever scared kids during trick or treating?
Yeah. Do you dress up and try and scare them when they come in, or just
no? Because if I do it, I want to do it really well and really right. And you know, we've got these long steps that go up to the house, and so you know, I kind of want to do it to where I'm not spending all night just sitting in one place, you know, in the cold. So I need to have kind of a good rig for it. So I'll get there.
Yeah, that's what I did for about an hour years and years ago. Is dressed up in a really good ghost outfit and moved my arms kind of weird so it looked like I was made of hay. And oh, then nice. Kids would be sit right outside the door and they'd come up. And depending on how old they were, if they were really small, I'd just move a little bit. And if they noticed it, it'd be like, okay. And if they, it'd be like, I'd move a little bit more. And I'm like, it's okay. Everything is good here. If they're a little older, it's like, jump at them, like, and I think I think I should probably be paying for about 30 kids worth of therapy at the moment.
That's what it's all about.
They're taking care of.
That's what I like about Halloween. It's a time to be, you know, to be light with the fright. It's a time to really kind of not take all the scary and spooky stuff to heart, to just have fun with it and to play with it and, you know, to just kind of let it all out that way. That's what I love about the holiday.
I agree completely. So for DonDalton.com and Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton wishing you a
spooky Halloween.
I'm David Deere. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening once again. Hope you enjoy this episode and be safe this Halloween.
I vote inside your blood. Children of the night.
Brains.